Pusyon and then away Magani Duk, Beshiko, Benesia Quay Indigo, Mong in Dudem, Ga Osa Squatcha Mekag and Dunjaba, Gamasqua Wako Cognin Da, Elaine Fleming, and Dishan Akas. My Ojibwe name is One Thunderbird Woman, and I'm with the Loon Clan. I am a member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe, of the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe Incorporated. I live in Gamasqua Wako Cog, the place where there were red cedar trees. And if you look on the map, you'll find it known as Cass Lake, Minnesota, named after one of the colonizers. And I want to welcome you to History of Leech Lake. And so I just always have to start out by just remembering that I don't know a whole lot, you know, and the little bit that I know, I will share with you as best I can. And just in a humble way, I just, you know I make mistakes, and I can be very thoughtless sometimes, but I'm trying. I'm trying to share with you what I've learned about history of Leech Lake. And so I want to say, you know, I was talking about Nanabushu and a story, and of course, even my mother told me you don't tell those Nanabushu stories unless there's snow on the ground. And then again, Toba Sunakwat, he came down from Canada, and he was an elder, and he said, you know, it is permitted. And I can't even remember how to say that in Ojibwe, but I have it written on a little piece of an index card, and it sits in a bathroom and by a bar of soap, and it just sits there, and it's said in two ways about it is permitted. And Toba Sunakwat had said that, you know, you can write these things now, or you can say these things now. We don't have to be so worried like we used to be about people coming and taking these things from us. And if we want our children to know these things, then we should share them now, and so that we can relearn these ways. And so I was telling a story about Nanabushu, and here it is, June, and, you know, that places some worry on me because I don't mean to offend anybody. But, you know, in this story, it was about grief and anger and about how our family members experienced, our people experienced historical trauma, and family members would hurt themselves or each other. Children would grow up without their parents. There was a violence that happened between the Dakota and the Ojibwe people. There was all the sickness that happened. And I remember a long time ago reading a piece written by Basil Johnston in an introduction to one of his books where a ceremony was being held. In the acting out of the ceremony, a young person is found eating the inner being of a human. This act was symbolic of how humans eat themselves up when they are hurt. It's at this time that the human must make a choice. They must choose to be selfish or to be selfless. If they are selfish, they will continue to eat themselves up and be of no use to the people. In choosing to be selfless, they will give to the people, and the people can be well. This is what the Ojibwe choose to do when they follow the teachings of the five beings who walked out of the Atlantic Ocean long ago. This too is an Ojibwe legend. The five spirits showed us how to develop our own skills and talents. They showed us how to develop that special spiritual gift that was given to everyone so we could take care of our people. Those skills and talents are necessary for our survival. The clan system was based on the teachings of these five spirits. The teachings are based on the animals and how the animals provide life, guardianship, healing, leading, and teaching. It said that they told us to travel west to where food grew on the water. They also told us to stay on the path that the animals created for us. If we were to become wasteful and disrespectful, we would lose our way. So, William W. Warren, he wrote about the first execution of an Ojibwe. And this Ojibwe man had killed a Canadian white man. And the Ojibwe man was brought into the fort at Fond du Lac, and the Ojibwe offered gifts to pay for the loss of the dead man. This was one of the ways that we would ask for forgiveness. We'd cover the body of the dead person with all these gifts and offerings. And this the gifts weren't accepted, though, and the Northwestern traders executed the Ojibwe man. Since then, Warren wrote that the life of a white man had been held sacred by the Ojibwes, and one could traverse any portion of their country in perfect safety and without the least molestation. That's what Warren wrote in his book. And Flatmouth, who I had been talking about, he said that he wouldn't shed a drop of a white person's blood, but he would seek revenge by death against the Dakota time after time in revenge for killing of an Ojibwe person. We lost our way when we were being colonized. We'd lose our way when our grief and anger was so great that we were driven to hurt ourselves and each other. People say that Nanabuju represents our ancestors. They lost their way often because of colonization. In order to do things correctly, we needed to listen to the elders and hold ceremony before reacting. The male war leaders quit asking the grandmas for their advice. You see, Nanabuju, our ancestors, loved their people. Every time that the Ojibwe would be attacked by the Wendigo, they would ask Nanabuju for help, knowing full well that we believed that we needed all our body pieces to travel to that place more beautiful than the sunset when we died, that old Wendigo would kill our people and tear pieces of their bodies off, throwing an arm, a leg, a head here and there along the beach, or wherever it traveled amongst our people. When the Ojibwe would come to Nanabuju in grief and anger, begging Nanabuju for help, he'd react too quickly. Instead of asking for advice from the elders and instead of holding ceremony, Nanabuju would rush off to kill the Wendigo. Nanabuju sometimes won in his fights with the Wendigo, but then some people say that was due purely to luck because he didn't do it in the right way, asking for advice and holding ceremony. Most often he lost, though. In fact, he lost so often that the Ojibwe quit going to him to ask for his help. In the legend, Nanabuju became so sad because he was forgotten that he finally packed his canoe up with needed items. He told the Ojibwe people that he was leaving them. He was taking his grandma, and they weren't planning to return. He did say, though, that maybe if the Ojibwe ever needed him again and asked for him, that he might return. The Ojibwe, we experienced epidemics, and when their medicines and ceremonies couldn't cure us, many of us returned to the white man's medicines and the white man's religion, hoping to be cured. Some retained their traditional spiritual practices but took to hiding them. When annuities were given out, it was written in treaties that the Ojibwe had to be of good moral character. Who was there to judge that moral character? People who were Christian judged them, so it was helpful for survival to become Christian in order to get your annuities. So, men, Nanabuju, we need you. Come back to us. You know, I tell my children about that. Nanabuju, we need you. Come back to us so that we can live a good life. And that's what we're working. That's what we're doing. We're living that good life and we're trying. Mi kwech bisandawi ek. Mi kwech. meet you.